Well, welcome to our broadcast. We call it Plain and Simple. This is our final message in the book of Genesis. Stay tuned for our program today. In Genesis chapter 49, and we see here that Jacob calls his family together for the last time, and he gives them instructions. It says here that Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." We see in verse 3 and 4, he had a message for Reuben, which wasn't very kind, but then he given him the facts. Simeon and Levi he put together in verses 7, 5 through 7, and they were just basically instruments of cruelty, and he told them that. And then we have Jacob's message for Judah. Judah had come to a complete place of repentance. We've seen this in previous broadcasts. And so he said, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. And he gets a lot of good things to say about Judah. His final message to Zebulun is found in verse 13. He speaks to Issachar, verse 14 and 15. Talks to Dan, verses 16 through 18. His final message for Gad is seen here in verse 19, for Asher in verse 20. Then he speaks to Naphtali in verse 21. Finally, we get where we left off in our last broadcast, and he speaks to Joseph, his final message. And this is what he says in verse 22, Joseph is a faithful bough, even a fruitful bough, by a well whose branches shall run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow in strength and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hand of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd of the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above. Blessings, he says, that are greater than the heavens below. And he mentions in verse number 26 how Joseph was separated from his brothers, and he needed to be. Well, very interesting how that all turned out. They sold him into slavery. But he says, Joseph, you've not only been a fruitful bough, but you run up against the wall and you go over the wall. He's had a tremendous, tremendous fruit-bearing life. And then he goes on to talk to Benjamin in verse number 27. And then in verse 28, he says, and all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is that their father spake unto them and blessed them, every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. And so he has his final message to his family as a group. He says in verse 29, he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. And so Jacob's life is concluded, and by the grace of God, the schemer outlived the deceitful area of his life, and he ended up walking with God. In Genesis 32, Jacob became a new man in Christ. His comments to his sons here in this past chapter are proof positive that the secrets of the Lord were with him. And in Numbers 23 and verse 10, this is what Moses had to say about Jacob. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Well, the last chapter of the book of Genesis ends concerning the funeral of this great man, and it says in verse 1, Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him, and Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel, or Jacob as he was called. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph gets permission from Pharaoh to take his father and bury him where he promised he would bury him. And in verse number 6, it says, Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house. Only their little ones and their flocks and their herds were left behind. And so we have this awesome funeral procession that is heading out to bury Jacob where he promised he would bury him. Verse 9 says, they went up with chariots and horsemen and a very great company. And in verse 10, they came to the threshing floor of Atad, and they stopped there and they mourned for 7 more days. And it says in verse 11, and the inhabitants of the land of Canaan saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, and they said, this is a grievous mourning of the Egyptians. Well, we read, and his sons, that is Jacob's sons, did unto him according as he had commanded them, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, and that's where they buried him there. Well, after that, we find in verse 15 that Joseph's brothers are getting a little bit concerned about things now. And it says in verse 15, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto him. Then in verse 18, we read, his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you, and your little ones. And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Well, it is interesting that God concludes the entire book of Genesis with the phrase that there was a coffin in Egypt. Now, when we get to the book of Exodus, Exodus is a book that speaks about redemption, speaks about deliverance, and that is absolutely the need of the hour, and it is for us today too. The book of Leviticus, should we study it? It speaks about worship, and the book of Numbers about the walk and the warfare of a believer. So Exodus, we'll look at some of it. We won't do the whole book, but we'll look at this subject of redemption and deliverance. And then once we are redeemed and delivered from Egypt, we're supposed to worship the way God says to worship. We're supposed to walk the way he says to walk and fight the warfare the way he says to fight it. Now, the key verse in Exodus is 15 and 33. Chapter 15, verse 33 says, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. As we begin this book, and we'll begin it in our next broadcast, actually, but just a bit of an introduction to it now, we see that God's people are there. There is only 70 of them. It's been 215 years since God promised Abraham that they would be more than the sands of the sea. But God, as we've said many times in this series, is never in a hurry, but he is never late. By the time this story concludes, they will have millions of people. They'll live with 70 people in peace because Joseph gave them that. But then there will be persecution as they grow in numbers, and it is an unwarranted persecution. They have done nothing to deserve it. As an introduction to the book of Exodus, we read in verses 1 and through 7, we read here about Jacob's household. It says, "Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob." And then it names them. There's Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And it says in verse 5, "And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation." That's interesting. That's what happens. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so we see here that all those people that we talked about in the book of Genesis, they're dead. They're gone. "It is appointed unto man once to die, and one of these days they'll look back and you will be gone. It is appointed unto man once to die." It is what we do with that short little span we call life that counts, as we've said before, in a cemetery. If you look at a tombstone, what you have on that tombstone is a short dash between two dates. That's what life is. Live it according to the word of God, and you will be happy. Well, it says in verse number 7, the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Well, in verse 8 it says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also with our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." Well, it says there's a new king. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 18, it refers to this, and it said another king arose that knew not Joseph. Now, there's two different Greek words that have been translated another. One means another of the same kind, and one means another of a different kind. In Acts chapter 17 and verse number 18, when it refers to another king arose, it is talking about another of a different kind. Now, we've said before many times, and we'll say it again many times because it is very important, we need to compare Scripture with Scripture if we're going to understand the Bible. Acts chapter 17 and verse 18 says, "There arose a new king of a different kind." A different kind. What does that mean? Well, what it means is found back in Isaiah 52. And verse number 4, where it says, "For thus saith the Lord God, My people went aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without a cause." Here's your king of another kind. Now, notice the phrase referring to this new king. In verse 9, it says, "His people," these Assyrians. Verse 9, "Mightier than we." Who? This king and his followers. Verse 10, "Let us." Verse 10, "Our enemies." Verse 10, "Fight." They fight against us. And then again, the reference in verse 22 to His people, that is the people of this new king of another kind. Well, verse 11, we see they have some unwarranted persecution against God's people here. It says in verse 11, "Therefore they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens." But it says in verse 12, "The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel." Well, Pharaoh gave a command that all the male children that were to be born were to be drowned in the river, but it says the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And so we read in verse 22, "Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Well, we have Satan's attempt to stop Christ from being born. I mean, if you're going to kill off all the Jews, there's not going to be Jesus. Why does it specifically say you're going to throw him in the river? Well, because that's where the death of the babies was going to be, but that is the very spot where they put Moses, the one who was to bring death to the armies of Egypt.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath a cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angel singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me